What's up, y'all? It's your boy.
Watch this.
Give me a beat.
You're listening to the Afrobeats Podcast, garden table content inspired by culture and soul.
Welcome, everybody, to the Afrobeats Podcast Takeover of the Washington Youth Garden page. If you don't know me, my name is Christian. I am the garden coordinator at the Washington Youth Garden, but I'm also the host of the Afrobeats Podcast. And so basically, this podcast is about kind of connecting people back to the land through the diasporic experience. And we really want to get the perspectives of culture and soul through the lens of food and plants here on this show. And so this is actually the start of season two. Hi, I see Alan. How's it going? Yay. I love to see it. So I'm going to introduce my guests in a second. But for those who can't stay the whole time, just know that this episode is going to be on the podcast, the Afrobeats Podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Anchor, if you can't stay and watch the full one. We also encourage you to make sure you put some comments below so you can be on the podcast too. Who doesn't want to be on the podcast? So go ahead and feel free to comment. We'll try to get to your questions as we go through the interview, and we'll let it flow and have a good time here. So today's special guest in the building, we have someone who is of many talents. She's a seamstress. She's an entrepreneur. She's a woman of the land. Someone who knows all about horticultural like therapy. She's a practitioner of that. She's good at making like beautiful spaces so we can all kind of like heal on this journey and life we're going through right now. So without further ado, I want to introduce Tondi, who is also alum of Washington Youth Garden. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to see how this angle's going to work.
Yeah, you're a little bit off to one side. I don't know if you can go. I don't know if it's my left or your left. So you're now you're out.
Okay, I'm going to switch this because I kind of want to be more interactive.
There you go. Okay. All right, we're getting more interactive. I like it. Awesome. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome.
So, yeah, I'm excited. And we talked about this, actually, at Rooting East. But with COVID, you know, and everything going on in the world, it kind of, you know, halted things. But, it's divine timing now.
For sure. I mean, we've been trying to do this for a long time. COVID definitely got in the way that could have been doing us a lot earlier. But, hey, everything happens in the right moment for a reason, right? So, right. I remember meeting you when I was, like, you were coming out of the Washington Youth Garden, and I was going into the Washington Youth Garden, right? And so I remember you, like, kind of shadowing you one day because you were kind of giving a tour to, like, some of the students you had in the garden that day. And you're basically showing me the ropes of how to, like, act in the Washington Youth Garden. And once I got to talk to you more and kind of see what you do, I was like, wow, this girl's incredible. Like, she does so many things, has so many skills. And so I'm super appreciative of you and the space that you take up.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I want to start off, I always like to start off these podcasts by getting people's like origin story. Like, how did you become like this horticulture, you know, therapist, like badass woman? Like, how, like, tell us your journey. What was the beginning? Like, where are you coming from? How did you get in this space?
Since I was little, I always had a love for plants and stuff, but I didn't really know that much. And I'm from Boston. I'm from Roxbury. And it's not like I had a lot of, like, space to actually grow stuff. And then, actually, while I went to Howard, it's just funny because being in D.C., this space is such a beautiful, like, it's so green, you know. And actually, while I was at Howard, there was this Baba, his name is Baba Aduno, and anybody who went to Howard knows exactly who I'm talking about. But, like, one day he came to me, he just, like, read me, you know, and he just told me about these women who are just so powerful, who are connected to the earth. And then it was like, I believe it was my sophomore year at Howard. It was just, I had an epiphany, and it was like I was coming across all these people who were just so connected to the land and the community here. And even just with my own health, once I started learning about and just like how food truly is medicine, just like, wait, like, why do I need a, I never even need to look at prescription pills. I never really was a fan of that. But I realized a lot of the nutrients that I needed, it was a deficiency that I had. And then I realized I could cure that through herbs. So it just changed my whole life, my whole lifestyle. And to be honest, I should have been a botanist. Like, you know, I for political science, and that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, like science, it really makes sense to me. Well, biology to me through botany, and just really being out in the earth and like learning about, you know, the land. And I do applied research with Hustlers to Harvesters. I'm actually in an internship right now with Tuskegee University, and through their Carver Integrative Sustainability Center, and I'm doing applied research, crops that I'm growing. So yeah, that's kind of how, you know, I got into this. And of course, the ancestors, I thank to them every day, because a lot of this is just, I'm just tapping into it. I love Afrobeats because this is what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? We got to reconnect, reclaim that connection, because I truly believe, like, the closer we are as a people united to the earth, to the land, you know, more liberated we be, even though there's so much trauma that happened to us all across the world, you know, with just enslavement, chattel slavery, everything that we had to endure, you know, just being forced to cultivate this land. Even though for thousands and thousands of years, we've always been agrarian societies, abundant, connected to the land, everything we needed, you know, was provided to the land. So it's really time to really, like, take that back and return back to that.
I definitely agree. So, like, timely, like, this moment where people are kind of trapped inside and they're kind of looking for those green spaces now, because now they have time where they have to sit and they're like, man, we're surrounded by all this brick and, like, concrete. Like, where are the green spaces in the city? And it's not like they don't exist, because you go to different wards and different areas of the city, like, there's plenty of green spaces. But I find that as people, we have to cultivate our own green spaces sometimes, and we have to find our own connection, because it can be seen as a little bit more of a white space, for sure. And so we need to make room for those conversations to be had.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I'm interested about your experience with Hustlers to Harvesters and the other different organizations. Can you go a little bit deeper into that network?
So Hustlers to Harvesters, like, at this point, and I'm, again, from Boston, from Roxbury, you know what I'm saying? I'm not from D.C., and these two phenomenal warriors, they're like my uncles. So Bo and Wallace, they founded Hustlers to Harvesters. They were returning citizens. And there's just so much I can go into that. So basically, it's centered around transforming land and lives. So, excuse me. So they knocked down and pushed down doors for us. And there's a lot of things, adversities, a lot of things that they went through. And I'm just being them, you know, witness and seen. But it started with the community garden that is a DPR garden at Dick Street. And there's a lot of things that we have to, that's a whole other conversation as far as like what we have to do to revive it. Because with COVID and funding and like a lot of things happen. I had a lot of plans to like do different designs there, but with COVID, it kind of paused that. Right now, we're focusing on a rooftop garden because Bo, he's actually the president of a senior citizen public housing building that, if you guys don't know, right now in D.C., a lot of these public houses are, they've been attacked pretty much. Like, a lot of them are closed, and we've already seen that happening in Southeast, but they're really, he's really advocating to keep it open for them and for a co-op. And we were just at the rooftop yesterday, and we're just growing everything up there, tomatoes, eggplant, African blue basil, some special crops, like longevity spinach, Egyptian spinach, lemon cucumbers, and stay tuned for that because that's like a whole other
conversation.
And even the space that was a DPR garden, it was actually locked by this property pimp, which, you know, that's the term that they, that's essentially what was happening. He locked it for the community. And there's a lot of profits out here, to be honest, who are getting all this money. And I used to live in Ward 7 in D.C., all this money to revitalize these wards. And where is it? Because when I was living in Ward 7, there was only like, what? The Safeway and a Giant, two grocery
stores. Yeah, I think there's a total of three or four right now, but they're trash. They're not even good.
So, yeah, and it was locked, so they advocated to open up that space. And everything in that space is built out of repurposed, recycled materials because they're also carpenters. And there's so much that we're working on because they're working on some other projects right now. And that's like, I can talk for so long for that.
I'm sure. Like, something I love that they do as a kind of unit is they're really into, like, the land specifically and how important having access to the land is. And, that's something I'm very interested in. I think the garden is a great space. It's kind of like the beginning of a conversation because when you look at a community garden and what it takes to actually place a community garden somewhere, you find all these different factors. You know, you're dealing with the politics of land, you're dealing with food access, you're dealing with nutrition, and yeah,
all that. And the crazy thing is, a lot of people actually don't know who move in the area. Like, even that whole Clay Terrace, that Deanwood area in Ward 7, just like a lot of other areas. Like, the people who are from there, everybody had a garden. Everybody's mother, grandmother, and they tell me all the time, like, you know, like, this is how we grew up. Like, everybody was growing stuff. Like, this is not a new thing. And then it makes sense because if you know the history of the people in this area, a lot of them migrated from the south.
Right.
You know, and then we could take it all the way back to Africa, you know, like, this is all within our DNA. And then it's like, when I'm out there, I just see the reflection of me, you know what I'm saying? Like, this melanin, like, I see that in the soil, that black gold, the compost. And then it just, so much, like, I'm just like, why is anybody out here hungry?
Right.
You know, there's so much abundance. I know you know this too, just growing one plant, there's so much abundance.
I know. There's so many edible plants out there. It's like crazy. What you just said about the history of DC and how that city of Deanwood particularly, it was like a mini, like, little Black Wall Street. Like, there's a book that I want people to check out. It's called Black Food Geographies. It talks about specifically all about Deanwood and the history with agriculture and food access, and it, like, breaks it down. It talks about redlining and how they, like, intentionally put Black people in that area because they knew that there was minimal grocery stores, they knew that the streets weren't paved, and everything was just very intentional. It's very interesting, but also it talks about the resilience of the people in that community and how, despite having everything against them, they were, you know, farmers, they were business owners, they were storekeepers, and how they learned to barter and thrive with each other. And so I love that book. If you haven't checked it out, definitely give that check out.
Yeah, I co-signed it. I have it. I got it when I went to the Black Growers conference.
Yeah.
I feel like I definitely messed up. But yeah, it looked Wallace, and that's somebody definitely that to definitely interview for this season because they can go on, like, literally, you know, they're oracles, you know, like, real, like, they literally, there seems so much happen and occur and change and, like, live through that. Like, I learned so much from them. And I'm just so thankful to be, you know, I'm thankful for the elders, and even a lot of what we're doing right now is generational, you know, and they're always talking about the youth, like, the things that they're doing right now, make sure we don't have to keep on fighting. Like, I'm tired of fighting. Like, I'm so tired of this. Even everything that's going on right now, like, I overstand that. As a Black woman, you know, with a whole Black family, soon I'm going to have Black children. You know, like, I overstand everything that is going on, but I'm tired of it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm already past the point of being reactionary, because it's like, I don't want to spiral. And I know what it's like to be in Black Rage. And you know that if you have listened to that song by Lauryn Hill, like what she's saying in that song, Black Rage, is so real. You know, and it's like, I'm just thankful for all this, for having these different skills to be able to use my hands to cultivate and to sew and all the things that I do. Because if I didn't have that outlet to channel this energy, like, I don't know right now. I probably would lose it.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so much. But it just, like, and the earth too has kept me so grounded in so many different ways. Because grounding is a thing that you need to do consistently. It's like never ended. But it's like, once you ground your energy, it's like nothing can really knock you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're centered. You're in alignment with your truth and who you are. And it just, you know, and that's horticulture therapy. That whole piece within that, like, and just being in the earth and just learning so much about this plant. Like, I learned about patience with myself and to be patient. And being at the Washington Youth Garden, you have to learn patience when you're dealing with, you know, you're teaching kids. And I was a substitute teacher too, so I have those skills. But patience, nurturing yourself, you know, nourishing yourself. Because when you cultivate, you got to know how to be gentle and care for those plants. And what you need to do for yourself as well, especially during these crucial times. Like, if you don't know how to take care of yourself and nourish yourself, you know, like, you gotta, I mean, we can help you out, but it's like, you need that. We all need that right
Absolutely.
Now, because you just gonna get caught up viral, you know?
Absolutely. I see a question here. Where do you recommend to buy the Black Food Geographies book? Just go on Amazon. Asante Reese is the author's name. Hope I said that right. But go check that out on Amazon. Great read. You know how I know about that teacher life. You know, I was a teacher for 2 years before coming to Washington Youth Garden. And I know how complex that could be. And yeah, at first kids are just like moving stuff out of the ground, you know, not really caring. And then you sit them down and you expose them and they teach them and they become very gentle. Next thing you know, they're like panic, like petting the plants and like really connecting to the land. So it's definitely doable. My next question is, so we're going through a crazy time right now with the pandemic. We got racial injustice, which has been around always, but it seems like it's hitting a boiling point at this time. So what are you doing daily to keep your mind at peace and in light of everything going on, you know?
So, yeah, this space, of course, let me kind of shift a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Oh, yeah, this is my sanctuary. Hold on, let me just back up. So this space, oh, my goodness. So this space came to me actually through meditation. And I had a very clear vision about creating this space and opening it up, because my sis, she actually, and I talk about this on my YouTube, which you should definitely check it out. It's in my bio, my first video. I'm working on the second one. But yeah, there was always plant there, but I had a vision to open it up, the space, and make it like basically a sanctuary. And that was actually my theme, because this came to me the end of last year before all this stuff went on. And so in this space, I usually just meditate in this space. I sketch, and I just love to just be here, because it's just the energy that is here. And it's just like a space I can just kind of like, you know, just be in the world, but not of the world, you know. And there's like birds. I don't know if you can hear them. They're like right outside. So it's like I'm at home, but I'm like, I feel like I'm like in some type of, I don't know, like some type of resort or something.
Yeah.
So I do want to share this with everybody, because I feel like it should be a mandate for everybody to have, even if it's like a little small nook or something, a corner where you can kind of just like have your peace of mind. And meditation, of course. Like, sometimes I just, and sometimes I slack on it, I'm not gonna lie, but when I meditate and like reel it back in, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Also too, I do libations. That is something that is very, like, this is like my church.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a church for plants, where you could just do grow, you know, just like be in the earth. Like, that's my church. So that's really what keeps me together during these times. And even like when there was like the tipping point of COVID and everybody was like, oh my God, everything is like closing down. And, you know, like I have family members who had it too, and they're victorious over it. But like, I was just here, like centered, grounded.
Right.
And it was just like, regardless of that's going on, like, I just know, I just kept myself so centered and so grounded, you know, to spirit, to my ancestors, you know, to my spiritual guys. That's that, and then that's a whole other conversation. But I just kept myself so centered and grounded, just so like I, you know, because it's a slippery slope, and especially as Black people, we have so much energy, we have so much, you know, that needs to be channeled. And we already know it's the summertime. We know what happens in the summertime. A lot of us don't know how to channel our energy properly, you know? So yeah, and this is something that I definitely want to teach people, because it's like, even with the kids, again, you know, when you teach them certain methods that they can use to empower themselves and to help them channel their energy, heal themselves, like, they take it and they run with it. You know what I'm saying? And then that's how you really change, because they take it home, you know what I'm saying, to their parents. They spread it to their friends. And then next thing you know, you got like a whole bunch of children, you know, and they, and as they grow up, they keep this with them, you know.
Right. So that's real. I love that. Yeah, I'm slowly trying to get my space together. I'll show you a couple plans, because I shit stuff for this podcast. But I got a couple of stuff in the window. Yeah, like the little fig going on, some cactus, peace lily, snake plant, which I didn't know that this was actually from Africa. I did not know that originally. Yeah. Yeah. And then this guy right here, I think this is my favorite Monstera. So.
Oh, that's
crazy. Yeah, I'm trying to get those space. I need to put like more stuff on the floor and get some like wall stuff like you do. But I got a little corner next to the window, so I'm trying to.
Okay, well let me know if you need help with that. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, for sure. Add it to your repertoire of businesses and skills, which also I want to talk about, like. What are you doing now? Like, I feel like you're always doing something new. You got the seamstress stuff going on. You got the herbalism. You got a garden. You're always doing something. So what do you got going on now?
I'm always doing something. Sometimes I have to, like yesterday, I had to just, like, I had to breathe a little bit, because I was just getting so, I was getting, like, so stuck on, like, one thing that I'm sewing that I had to, like, reel it back in. So, okay. So right now, I'm finishing a project for Acres of Ancestry, and definitely check out their Instagram. It's founded by a phenomenal sister who's attorney, author, woman of many hats. You know, we out here multifaceted, all that jazz. She has another organization called the Black Belt Land Justice, and her focus is on like Black land sovereignty. And you know, you can learn a lot about the injustices that happen to Black farmers in this country just by going on her site and her Instagram. But she's fostering like a whole ecosystem of different artisans, crafters. There's like quilters. I'm one of the artists on there. There's like a woodblock artist, painters, like amazing, amazing, amazing. There was supposed to be a launch, like an event, but I mean, due to COVID, it got canceled. But I'm working on a patchwork duster. I would like show you, but it's not ready to be shown yet. So y'all just gonna have to wait for that. But it's made out of repurposed denim, at like literally piece by piece. Like, I'm sewing this together, so it's taking me a while. But I'm gonna be done this weekend. And of course, the YouTube that I just started is called Take Back Your Throne. And there's a lot of different series and a lot of different things. But basically, everything I do, I want to like put it out there and focus on like the process of all the different creations, whether it's like growing, cultivating, because I sew. Like, I sew seed and I sew fabric and textile.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are some of the things. And of course, that's an internship with Tuskegee University and growing. So it's like, yeah, all
Cool. I put Speakers of Ancestry. I think that's the Instagram. Hopefully I spelled it right. Yeah. And then I'll put the other info that you're giving in the notes of the podcast when we put it up. Yeah, that's super dope. Yeah, I saw those dope, those masks you were like stitching up. Those were dope. But the
yeah.
And I have to copy one of those. Mine's getting kind of tired. I got one of mine, but it's still nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, and you know, it's always about the hustle. You know, now that's becoming trendy.
Yeah, yeah. You were doing that before.
Yeah.
Cool. So you were talking about earlier about the different crops and different like foods you get from the garden that are very culturally relevant. Like what is it? What are you like eating these days? What are things that you find interesting that might be, you know, not the norm? Like you couldn't really get at the grocery store. Let's be something you have to grow. Like talk about like the importance of food specific to African like ancestry and connecting to the land that way.
Yeah, well, I actually went to Tuskegee's. They're like 128th like farmers conference, but I had like no idea about. In February, and there was this brother, wish I can remember his name right now, I gotta look him up again, but he has a garden in Philly, and there was different presenters, and he was talking about like how in Africa, like we think we eat like collard greens and turnips, you know, there's like less than, you know, like five different crops. He's like, there was like over, there was definitely, it was like over 100 or like 300 or something, it was like some number like that of different beans that we used to eat in Africa, and I'm just like,
nobody talking about
like, what? And we just got this kid like, yeah,
I know. Nah. Yeah, once you find out the different varieties, it's crazy. Like there's just so much to play with. Like once you get the basics of growing that, the world is your oyster.
I definitely need to look more in that. And a lot of the stuff, well, I'm actually growing it now. They're not all the way mature because, you know, this season was kind of weird. It was cold for like a minute and then it finally really hot. So, again, Egyptian spinach. My dad actually told me about this. It's called, my dad's from Haiti. And it's called Lalo in Creole, and they usually stew it with like meat, and it's like really good because my grandma like one of the plants that I'm testing my research. Also, longevity spinach, which is all these super cool spinach. It's a native to Asia and also Africa, and it's like super nutrient dense, and you have to like propagate it. I'm also testing that out, and actually Bo from Hustlers to Harvesters, we have that growing up on the rooftop, and I'm like growing some outside like where I live too. But he's been tasting it and trying it. He's like, I love it like already. So that's something that we're definitely, you know, we're gonna keep on growing that, and eventually we're gonna sell. We're working on that, and then also lemon cucumbers. That's
those are cool.
Also trying. Also too. What else? African blue basil. That's my favorite basil of like all time. If you haven't tried it, let me know because it's just so.
Nah, I need to try that. You said what basil?
African blue
basil. See, I've never heard of these before, but I definitely need to get a sniff or something. That's dope.
Yeah, so it's really, and there's some other plants I'm trying to think of. Oh, yeah, watercress. Because I really love watercress. Yeah, fun. Of course, I haven't really grown that much okra this year, which is kind of weird for me because I love okra. Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of other too. I don't know why I can't think of it. Oh, okay. So tomatoes, they're not really native to Africa, but I found them like peach cherry tomatoes, and there's like a persimmon cherry tomato, which I saw this in the store, and I'm like, I need to try these. So
I'm currently growing right now some Scotch bonnet peppers. which is great for like African and like Caribbean food. Like, so I'm excited about that. And I really want to grow kaolin, the greens. Is that, am I saying it right?
Say it again. Kaolin.
So, yeah, I'm going to keep my mind open to those things because I definitely. Well, I wouldn't do anybody justice if I didn't ask for you to talk a little bit about your skin routine, because the skin is always popping. So I wanted to share some wealth with the people out there who are not as gifted in those areas. I know you did something with Root in DC. You know, you had a little talk about the different herbs and different concoctions that you make to take care of your skin. So can you give us some tips, share the wealth a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm going to just put a little disclaimer. You know, I have to give thanks to my ancestors and my father because
But you have to maintain it, though. That's where people get slipped up. They think just because they got melanin, they don't have to maintain. You got to take care of them, right?
You gotta drink water. I got some lemon rose water right here, y'all. That lemon water. Oh my goodness, it will change your whole life. So I make oils, and I've tested it and sent it to like friends and family, and that's just one of the many things that I need to get on my hustle because I haven't really, you know, gone into production because I was also sampling it and just trying it out. So it's a mixture of sunflower oil, rose petals, lavender, and calendula or marigold. One of my favorite all those things are very good for the skin as far as like you want to have glowing skin, hydrated skin, soothing your skin. And like from the different people who tried it, there are people who had eczema. From babies to adults who it just like cleared up, like friends who had like acne cleared up. And I also charged it in the sun, and then my boyfriend, he does Reiki, and he even Reiki charged it too, because I just was like, oh, let's just, you know, try something out. But one of my friends, she knows. And then one of my friends, she was just like, oh my god, this is some magical oil, like what did you do? So for Rooting DC, it was, and you were there, so yeah, it was a really cool, it almost didn't happen because I was a little nervous because it was kind of like, but our sis, Jalen, she and another sis named Kimmy, who are also, we were co-presenting, it was just amazing, you know, and they have their knowledge too about stuff they've been trying, but a lot of this comes from, my skin is super sensitive. Like, I can only wear, like, I have on lipstick. I can only wear a lipstick and eyeshadow and mascara. I cannot put anything on my face. Because if I put anything else on my face, like, you would not want to see me. Like, I would have, like, little patches. Like, I'm, like, allergic to, like, face makeup. So, so that's why I just have to be very clean. I'm very particular about the ingredients because it's amazing what marketing, especially in this country, it would be like rose serum with all these beautiful organic herbs, and then you look on the back of the label and it's like some crazy artificial blue coloring red, da 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 da. So I'm just like, I can't mess with that. So I just did research, and based off of the stuff that I was already growing, I'm just like, oh, like I could just make this myself. I also use black castor oil that my dad got me too, which I just basically made it like a serum. And so I do that. I exfoliate. That's a really big thing to do as well. That's kind of where, and again, everything, lifestyle, like, this is all lifestyle, you know, like, you know, natural, even though natural organic has been hijacked, you know, this thing that is going on in all these different companies, but I'm talking about, like, the real, looking at it, okay, I know where this comes from,
right.
I know who made it. I'm really big on that and fostering a whole ecosystem where there's different people who are crafting, creating, you know, real things, real products that come from real plants, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it starts with, like, looking what you're already putting into your body, and, like, taking stuff out is a good start, because there's just so many products, like, and the stuff you, like, everybody knows you're supposed to look at a nutrition label and figure out what's in your food. That's one thing, but when you're talking about shampoo and soaps you've been using for years, and I feel like for us, we just use stuff because we've just been using it, like, a long time, and it's just like, I don't know. You know, and some of that stuff just doesn't work. Like how ginger ale is supposed to kill and, like, cure everything. It's just, a lot of those ginger ales don't even have real ginger in it. And I'm like, what? But my mom swears ginger ale heals everything. Sometimes I do still drink it just because of nostalgia reason, but I know it doesn't do that much. Now, fresh ginger and a little bit of lemon, that'll go, like, a long way. But, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I have a mix of that, because I have, like, different, like, I'm essentially, like, the dieter. Like, I have, you know, my dad's from Haiti, my mom is African-American on my grandmother's side, maternally, and then paternally, my grandfather, I mean, he identifies as African-American, but his father came from Cape Verde, and his has some, like, Native American in there somewhere, so I gotta confirm that. But just like I know a lot of Black people will always have that one family member who's like, so it's like a mix of, like, okay, my dad, castor oil, like, over there, and then the Caribbean, and, like, hate, you know, taking castor oil, but that stuff is, like, is, like, literally, like, gold. And then my mom's side, ginger ale, you know, my grandmother, she would drink ginger ale all day. And then cloves, that's, like, a big thing in Haitian culture, because cloves is, they cook a lot of rice and a lot of their food with cloves. But cloves, especially right now, we're talking about our immune system and, like, killing pathogens, that is A1 right now. Like, literally so many people, my dad, his family members is telling him, hey, take this, mix that with that, take this with that.
They feel like that. Guys feel like that for sure.
Yeah.
I know we're about to wrap up soon, because, you know you got time to do all your mini bits. You're busy, obviously. But a few more questions I wanted to ask is, what role does your, kind of like, your heritage play in your cultural background? Like, you talk about your connection to the land. How is that kind of interwoven with each other, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so again, if anybody knows me, they know I'm always talking about, like, spirit, ancestors, reverence, honoring them, all that jazz. So I definitely say it's rooted, and I mean, it's intrinsic in all of real. It's just you. It's just a matter of who is still tuning into it and tapping into it and aware of it. So yeah, that, and of course, to just being Haitian for real. Like, the literally IET. Well, IET. That's really, the vibration is different from Haiti, and that was what the French gave the name of that land. But then that honors the indigenous people of that land, and it literally means, like, land of beautiful mountains, and, like, even the I, that vibration, that word, that comes from the African, like, Dahomey, and that Togo, Senegambia area, and it represents, like, the earth and the land, and, like, the people there are very, you know, connected in tune with the land, so that's just honestly in my DNA. That's where, because a lot of this stuff I made myself. I'm like, how do I even know this? Like, you know, and even when I was the harvesters, they be looking at me like, this girl, how does she? it's just intrinsic. It's just natural. And so I give thanks. I definitely give thanks to honor my sisters.
Yeah, I think just being able to connect to the land that way is so important, and it really moves people and what we do. What do you think that, like, we've both been around? organizations and nonprofits in the area. What do you think, in your opinion, what are some ways we can make the green spaces or green organizations more inclusive? Or do you think they need to be inclusive? What's your opinion on that? I want to know what you think. That's a loaded question, but I want to get your opinion on.
Okay, so we talk about this a lot with Hustlers Harvesters because it's just like, okay, like first of all with us, right? So I learned ancestors, literally the Haitian flag literally represents unity, strength, right? So it's like, and that's something as a people's, you know, as a black people's, I mean, we're people, but we need to be people's to be united, right? So that's something that we definitely need to work on, because it's a lot of different people working in silo who have like different, you know, motives and agendas. And I'm gonna just leave it at that. But it would be so powerful if we really like connect and, you know, all the resources we have, like utilizing it, connecting it, building that bridge. And that's something that we're working on now as far as doing like a food, like resiliency hub. And really connecting to this, and we went over this so many different times. Like, there are so many green spaces in this area alone, and we're not. You know, I'm not even. We didn't even get to Maryland yet. You know what I'm saying?
So much land.
Or like Virginia. You know, yeah, there's so much land, and it's like, again, it's very political here. So you know, there's land, but it's like who owns it? You know, and like there are developers. There are developers who are like, I want to make another condo, so scratch that little garden with these little black, you know. But then it's like, I see so many organizations, and it's like, the face is like every little black kid that I was subbing for. It's like, I see all of them, all these kids, but that's it's like a cash cow, you know, that's how you get like money. And that's where the money, and then and even when you're talking about opportunity zones, that's like a whole other conversation. But I definitely believe that there's got to be a shift, even just right now with everything that has been occurring the past few months, and even just with what's going on in the agriculture world. Like, there are Congress people who I haven't really followed up with it as of today, but they wanted to reduce the wages of migrant workers on farmers to alleviate the stress that farmers feel. But it's like, hold up, you guys aren't even really paying them anything anyways. So what's gonna happen if you let them go? Can you still see me? Because my screen is
Yeah, it froze a little bit, but I can still hear you. See if it comes back.
Alright, okay. It's good now. But yeah, so what happens when these migrant workers, you know, and it's like, who's going to work on these fields? You know, we got to remember, we were stolen from our land to be brought here to work these fields. These colonizers were not working these fields.
Right.
So if we don't have people working fields, and we already have farmers and growers who are just like, you know, they lost a lot of money. You know, the economy has been tanking. They've just been burning and just like bulldozing over their crops. So it's like, what have we rely on these food systems? And then we teach students about this at Washington Youth Garden, about the local and global food system. So if we see this something being dismantled and give up on the local resistance and resilience. And that's what people have been talking about, more of the center of Congress and giving what is going on. But it's like, we really gotta strap up, because we don't know.
That's totally real. Like, if we don't be proactive in that, then everything's just gonna take, it's not gonna end well for anybody, really. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, so I'm gonna finish this up, wrap this up, but in the spirit of the Afrobeats podcast, what we do, we like to do a little bit of a rapid fire round at the end of every interview. And so when you're ready, you can answer as fast as you can. And we'll give you a couple questions. Sound good?
Okay.
All right. All right. So the first one, I'll let you do this how you perceive it. What is your culture's favorite dish? I know you have multiple cultures, but...
Ooh. I would say sauce pois noir. It means in Creole black bean sauce, because the black beans, just something about it. It just hits differently, but black bean sauce. My
goodness. Okay. Okay, you're gonna have to give me that recipe. I'm gonna remember that one. If you were a vegetable, what would you be and why?
I would probably be spinach, just because you can't go wrong with spinach. Magnesium is a vitamin, a nutrient that I need. So, you know, and I just love it. You can't go wrong with spinach.
Okay, that's a new one. If you could grow an infinite amount of a certain food or plant in the world, what would it be?
Mangoes.
Okay.
I love mangoes.
Mangoes are good. Yeah, that's a good mango, though. Some of the American mangoes are kind of, they're not that good, you know?
Oh, I just feel bad for all the Americans who probably never traveled outside of America and don't know what a real mango tastes like. Like, y'all need to experience, because these mangoes, no. These mangoes,
they're not like that. I even tasted it and know it's like, nah, there's a difference. It's a different game. It's a different game. All right. Besides your culture, which culture has the best food?
That's so hard.
People in the comments, put your favorite culture's food.
It's hard because I love Japanese food, and like I love some salad, and it's like Mexican too.
You gotta choose one.
Alright, I'm gonna go with Japanese
food. Okay, solid choice. Alright, and the last question is, in 5 words or less, what does it mean for you to be a part of the African diaspora? Five words or less.
I'm going to just go with, let's see, unity makes strength.
Unity makes strength. I like that. You're bold now. You're like, you make strength. Bring people together.
Yeah, people might say I'm a radical. I'm an Aquarius, so you know, if you know about that.
Yeah.
We just on the table.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on today. Can you shout out all your different platforms, what you got going on? I know you got the YouTube channel and everything, and Instagram. Just give everybody what you're doing.
Thank you to everybody and everybody who supported, just watched that. I see y'all in the comments. Am I frozen right now?
A little bit. You're back. Yeah, thank you, everybody.
It's good now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so Take Back Your Throne, that's my YouTube. I will be dropping part 2, How to Make a Story. I've been having technical issues, so bear with me, people. That's my Instagram is _DeRosa, but like, I kind of do things here and there, but I don't know. If you want to follow me, cool, but if not, I'm not going to be in feelings or anything. Hustlers to Harvesters, what they're doing, Acres of Ancestry, check out the site and the Instagram, because I will be finishing the jacket that I've been working on pretty basically the end of this week. Thank you to the Washington Youth Garden, one of the best places to work at. Check out the Arboretum as well. Yeah, this has been so cool. And Afrobeats, of course.
Afrobeats, come through. Thank you for being, so this was basically the kickoff season 2, I didn't tell you that, but you get the start off right, you know? Whoever comes behind you is going to have to really put in the work. But yeah, I appreciate you guys. Everybody, thank you for coming. If you like this, just give a thumbs up, throw some hearts in the comments. I'm going to make sure to get this to you guys through the Washington Youth Garden or through my page @Afro_Beats. Phil Falatani, and I will get those resources to you, and we'll be in touch, and hopefully you guys like this, and we'll do some more of these. So appreciate you guys for coming through. All
right. Peace, y'all.
Peace. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, that's it for today, y'all. That's it. That's a wrap. So go ahead and go to iTunes, you know, give your boy 5 stars, throw a little comment in there. We're trying to get better each and every week. So if you're feeling your boy, go ahead and take care of that. Share this podcast with your fellow foodies and gardeners, and I'll talk to y'all next week. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And remember, keep moving to the beat of your own drum. Talk to you later, fam. Peace.